I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome to The Memo. It is Monday, December 28th. I'm Emma Kent, and I'm with Derek Russell. We're your hosts for today. Derek, how's it going?
I'm well. How are you? How was your Christmas?
It was good.
Did you do all those things I told you to do in the previous episode?
I did every single one of them.
Good.
Yeah.
I won't hold you to it.
I know you will.
Okay.
I know.
No, I'm not going to hold you to it.
Well, then why did you say that?
I just wanted to know if, for my own well-being, if you did all those things we talked about in the last episode.
Yeah.
Previously on The Memo.
Previously.
Hey, Rod Guajardo's here with us today.
Hello.
Hey, Rod. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Rod, with Christmas out of the way, it's looking ahead to the end of the year and all the things that we have talked about in the previous 2015. What?
Previous 2015?
It's previous. It's happened in the past.
Correct. It's past.
What were some of your favorites? Now, we talk every year we do an end-of-the-year review on the important things that happened in Northeast Mississippi, specifically in Tupelo, as we do each year. What were some of our big hits from 2015?
Well, obviously, it was a busy year. You know, there are several things locally, regionally, and then across the state that, you know, we spent a lot of time covering this year, and we kind of put together a list, the editors here at the Journal. We had the story in this past Sunday paper, and, you know, a lot of those things, several of us spent a good time covering and reporting on, and they really just sort of resonate through the year as really big highlights. So, you know, some of the top ones that we picked that had the most significant impact, obviously Initiative 42 was a huge deal. Emma, you spent a lot of time covering that, as well as Chris and others, Bobby at the state level. You know, that was just a huge time for education in Mississippi, and that was several years in the making. I mean, people had been out collecting signatures and getting that sort of rolling for so long that it finally culminated in 2015. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way that the 42 folks wanted it to go, but I think it told us a lot about the state of education in Mississippi, and, you know, a lot of what's going to be coming next has yet to be determined, but that was one of the things that we put very high up on our list just because it impacts so many people in the state, not only in Tupelo and in Northeast Mississippi.
Talking about Emma covering a lot, I was looking at the three of you and thinking about how much had changed just here at the Daily Journal in 2015 as well, the addition of you and Emma both, and all three of you having title changes within 2015 as well.
I think Chris is new as well, right? He hadn't been here.
Yeah, Chris, who are you?
Yeah.
I snuck in the front door.
Oh, okay. Just I thought you had been here for several years. I guess not. No,
that was another one on our list. You know, Lloyd Gray leaving the Journal after 23 years, obviously a huge part of this newspaper and media company, and we were certainly sad to see him go, but excited for the next part of his life that he got to start in Meridian. He and Sally are doing very well there, and I think that was a good move for him. And obviously, it opened up some things here for us to really just kind of take a step back and look at what we were doing as a newspaper and as an organization. And this is one of the things. I mean, this podcast came from that, not necessarily that we wouldn't have done it if Lloyd had been here, but, you know, those types of things, when people leave and you have new leadership stepping up, I think it's always a good time where you can really – take a step back and evaluate your needs. And this was one of the things that Chris had kind of been bouncing around for a while, and we just kind of, you know, hit the gas. And I think it's been a good success so far. So, yeah, it's been a wild year, not only in Northeast Mississippi and the state, but also here at the Journal as well, with just new faces and titles and a lot of good things going on. Some of the other things we can hit on just real quickly, you know, the city had a huge year in my mind, and maybe I'm a little biased to this because I was covering the city when all these things happened earlier this year. But obviously, the All-America City Award was a huge deal for them. The city made history this year by becoming the only city in the South to be named an All-America City 5 times and only the 7th in the country. So back in June, a group of about 40 people traveled to Denver to compete in the All-America City Award, which is given by the National Civic League. And essentially what you have to do is give a presentation and tell a panel of nationally recognized civic leaders, you know, why your community has done the things that makes it so great. And they pick a topic every year. This one was focused on how your community's engaging vulnerable young men and boys. And the city just happened to have a good deal of programs that was helping those people in Tupelo with the Police Athletic League, Plant a Seed, El Centro, those kinds of things. Again, I'm a little biased because I went with the group to Denver and saw the level of excitement that was there, and just really resonated that famous Tupelo spirit that you always hear about. And they pulled it out. They came out of there with a win, and it was a huge deal for them. And then not a week later, the Municipal League in Mississippi gave them the overall award for excellence. So Tupelo kind of got back-to-back major recognitions, you know, one on the national level and then one on the state level. So that was a huge deal for Tupelo, and I know well-deserved for the city leaders as well as just community members who represent so many of these different organizations that do a lot for this community. So that was obviously good to see, but also we had some significant tragedies last year, mainly with Congressman Nunley passing away in February after his long battle with brain cancer. And so that, you know, that brought some significant recognition here just because of the huge impact he had on this region and on the state, really. I mean, he was such a pivotal part of Northeast Mississippi for such a long time. And, you know, they had a funeral here, and it brought folks from Washington, D.C., and just, you know, a good time to recognize him and all the good work that he had done. Obviously, with his passing, that led to a special election to fill his seat, where we had a total of 13 people, a very crowded election. And Trent Kelly emerged from that as our new congressman. So, yeah, a very busy year that saw some highs, some lows, and all across. But I think we overall it was a great year for Tupelo and Northeast Mississippi, and definitely one to remember.
Talking about people coming in, also thinking about people going out. We had Dan Jones ejected as the Ole Miss chancellor in 2015 as well.
Yeah, that was obviously a big deal for the Oxford folks, but also people across the state who were big supporters of Dan Jones. And, you know, at one point you had a lot of key figures, Mississippians, sort of speaking out in support of Dan Jones. I mean, you had people like John Grisham and Jim Barksdale, Archie Manning kind of coming out of the woodworks and supporting him, and really just questioning the decisions that were being made by the College Board to not renew his contract. But, you know, at the end of the day, Dr. Jones was able to stay on in a different role, and that led to the selection and then choosing of Jeffrey Vitter, as the new chancellor, the 17th chancellor of the university. So, you know, it was kind of it got testy there for a while. I mean, you had student protests, you had people speaking out. But then I thought overall the search process went very well. You know, the university and IHL were very transparent in that process and ended up with what I think is a solid candidate. I mean, Dr. Vitter has different strengths than Dr. Jones did, but his academic credentials and leadership abilities were lauded significantly during the search process. And that's what I think they're really looking for him to bring to the table when he starts January 1st.
And he's the first Ole Miss chancellor to ever be on Twitter.
That's right. Yes, he has a Twitter account and is tweeting it up.
Yeah, he's been pretty active. I follow him, and he tweets a good bit. So anyway, just another plus to throw in there.
That's right. He is very active on the social media.
Within a year recap, there's always, like you said, lots of highs, lots of lows, good news and bad news. But either way, it's still news. So that's what we wanted to bring you today, is after Sunday's issue when all those things were covered. Like I said, we can find that online at djournal.com or in Sunday's issue of your daily journal. And with it being New Year's week, you'll have an abbreviated episode today. Rod, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you coming in. You can, as I said, find those stories online, djournal.com, on our Twitter at djournal now. We're online, memo.djournal.com. And at DJournal Memo. And we'll be back again Wednesday. Emma, you going to come back again on Wednesday with us?
Like I said before, Derek.
If they're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if they're lucky. All right. If they're lucky, then I have to have you back. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Either way, Emma or Emma-less on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.